Well, today as I was thinking about this message, one of the things that I've noticed and I hear a lot is that there's a lot of hopelessness right now in our world, in our society. You hear about the number of people that are fighting depression or a lot of anxiety. And I'm so thankful that we are not hopeless, but that we can be hopeful, not just for positive thinking, but because God makes a difference in our lives. And that's what I want to talk about today. Now, I do have an illustration here. You want to throw that up there. If you would like, you can go home and try and do this. You do this. But your goal is to try to connect water, electricity, and gas, all three of those, to all three houses without crossing any lines. You cannot cross a line to get one to the other. Now, for what it's worth, I have sat for hours and tried to do this. I have been told it's impossible. The only way I could figure out is to cheat and say, well, I dug under one of the other lines, and so I didn't cross it, I went under it, which I guess is still crossing it in some way. But supposedly, this is an impossible task, so if you like challenges, you can go home and do this. But in a sense, it's a hopeless exercise. No matter how much you try, no matter what you do, it just simply can't be done. But I'm thankful that with God, all things are possible. I don't know how God would do this, but somehow God has a solution to this one, I'm sure. So again, it's that difference that God makes in our lives. Let me tell you a story about a man. He had a fairly rough childhood. His mother, who was a Christian, taught in the Bible, but she died when he was only 7 years old. His father was a merchant navy captain, and I guess things were a little different. This is from a previous era. His father, who was the captain, took him on several voyages with him. So, I don't know, I've been on a cruise boat. I guess that's as close as I've come to sailing the seven seas, but I can't imagine as an eight-year-old whether it was a lot of fun or just horrible. But that was his experience, and, you know, with his dad and all his responsibilities. Well, later on, I guess because his dad was in the Navy, he eventually got a job working on another ship. But he lost that job because, and I quote, he was released because of unsettled behavior and impatience of restraint. If you can tell, that's a little older language here. He was a problem child. He was a problem person. Matter of fact, he will later on describe those early years as he just didn't like anybody and he tried to make life as hard as he could for other people. A little later, he was pressed into naval service, but then he deserted. When they finally caught him, they punished him, they flogged him, and put him back to work, but he was so much trouble that they finally allowed him to leave the Navy to work on a slaver ship. But that first ship they put him on, the ship's owner treated him cruelly, and he was basically reduced to rags and hunger. He ended up with little or nothing. Well, eventually he was transferred to serve on a different ship, and on one of its voyages, there was a terrible, terrible storm that came up, and the crew were sure that they were going to die in this storm. They were going to sink and die. And he remembered something about what his mother had taught him, and he called out to God, promising God that if God would spare him from this storm, if God would let him live through this storm, that he would serve God, if God would spare his life. Well, God did, and this man kept his promise to God. Eventually, he left. Even at this, his life began to change. For a while, he continued to serve on slaver ships, but he tried to change the way that the crew and the slaves were treated, tried to be more humane to them and change some of the horrible practices. If you have a chance, go back and watch, it's an older movie. It's a slow movie, I warn you, but it's a tremendous story. I think it's called Amazing Grace. It's the story of William Wilberforce, who worked to have slavery abolished in England. This man's actually a part of that story and in that movie. Again, it's not a fast action movie, but it's a tremendous story. I'd encourage you to watch it. Some of the practices they bring out on how the slaves were treated. But he eventually got out of that and took an office job. Then he began to hold Bible studies in his home. Eventually became a minister and pastored a small congregation. And there for their Thursday night prayer time and Bible studies, his goal was to write a song and became a songwriter, hymn writer. And had another man that came along that helped him do this. And so every Thursday night they'd have a new song. And perhaps the best one, the song we know best from this man, goes something like this. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You haven't already guessed, this man was John Newton. Not to be confused with the cookie, okay? But I love the third verse of that song. And these are the ones that, if you ever noticed and you do any study of some of the older songs, many times there's a whole lot more verses than what ended up in our hymnal. But the third verse says this: the Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. John Newton went from that horrible background, growing up a hard man, a mean man. And you would think, really? That's why he could say, it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Because he wasn't just using a word that just happened. He knew he was a wretch. He was a mean man. He was a hard man. He was a wretched man. And yet, when he called out to God, God changed his life. And because of his faith, as he continued to grow in God, he found that he had that hope, and it was a secure hope. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, talked about this in chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. It's actually longer, but I'm going to focus on these today for hopefully to keep the preacher a little from talking too long today. Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 13, it says, "Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it only affected their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope." That's a be horrible if it just ended there, didn't it? The thought of being without God and without hope. Thankfully, that's not where this part of the story, this part of that read, when you read it, it makes a difference, right? But now you've been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. That is why we have hope. Not that we can do the American ideal of pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps sort of mentality, but by simply admitting, I am a wretch. All those things that I've done are worthy of death, for the wages of sin is death. But thankfully, that's not the final page written in the book. That by the blood of Christ, they're washed away, and our debt is canceled, and we have a clean slate because of what God has done for us. That is the reason that we can have hope. It's hope for a better life in this world. Now, does that mean you give your life to Jesus and all of a sudden everything's perfect? You never have any problems. You're not like my friend in Springfield that was noted that she just felt like she wanted to go back to bed today because she got up and realized her tank was empty, and in trying to start the car, she drained the battery, and then she got out and found out she had a flat tire on top of it all. She loves Jesus. Those sort of things still happen to us. But what a difference it makes when God is at work in our lives. We have a hope, and again, sometimes you may be praying for the lollipop, but God knows you need Skittles instead. I don't know whether one's better for you or not, but anyway. God is at work in our lives, and because of that, we have hope. It's just not a, you know, the old expression used to be a pie in the sky by and by type of faith. But it's that confidence we have that Christ loved us enough to die for us, that our lives could be changed forever. And it's not just a one and done sort of deal, that we begin to live our lives with Jesus as a part of our lives. We use the expression, you know, we ask Jesus came into my heart. We used to sing that song a long time ago. Since Jesus came into, it's been a while since I've sang that one. And one little, I love the kids because they're concrete thinkers. How does Jesus fit in my heart? Well, his Spirit comes and dwells within us, the Spirit of Christ. And we begin to live a different life, just like John Newton experienced. He didn't change overnight. But thank God we have that hope that he's going to keep working in our lives. When Paul wrote to the Philippians, and I didn't put this one in here and I don't have the verse up there, but Philippians 1:6, he's talking about how he's praying for the Philippian believers, and he goes, I can be confident of my prayers being answered, or be confident of what I'm desiring for you, because I'm praying for you constantly. That he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, that's a hope we have. The Bible even calls the return of Christ for us, his bride, the church, as the blessed hope. Thank God that this world, the way it is now, that's fallen and broken, is not going to continue on forever. One of these days, God is going to bring to completion his plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. And the day will come when this world is going to be destroyed by fire, but God is going to create a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. All the things that cause sorrow and grief and pain and tears in this current world will be gone, because all the effects of sin will have been neutralized, done away with, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. You know, Paul described what happens to us when we give our lives to Christ, and that change that begins to happen in our lives, when in the letter he wrote to Christians in Rome, Romans 5, beginning at verse 1, he says, therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, it's when we call on God, God, I am a wretch, please save a wretch like me. And God forgives our sins and begins to live in our lives. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. That's our hope. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, For we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead us to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Hallelujah. We're made right with God, and he begins working in our lives so that even the trials that we walk through are for our benefit. They strengthen us. Now, is it fun to go through those things? No. Honestly, I'm not dreading it, but I'm not looking forward to the surgery on my arm this next Friday. It totally messes up my schedule. I know it's going to hurt when it's said and done. I'm not too worried about the pain of the surgery because I know once the IV's in, they're going to give me some joy juice and I'm not going to remember anything until I wake up. I'm kind of one of those, I don't care what you do to me, just knock me out first, please. But I'm not looking forward to that, and I do appreciate Sandra being willing to fill in. I might be here next Sunday, but it could be a really interesting sermon if I tried to preach. Even worse than my normal stuff. But anyway, those things help us grow. They help us grow. They help us to understand that God really is a good God. We don't necessarily understand, so many of the Bible stories that were in that little Rotten Pumpkins video. So many of those characters, they face trials, which, by the way, if you're having need help on your boat, I know a guy. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you. I've been waiting to do that one all day. But see, every one of us who are believers in this room can share the story of how coming to Jesus changed our lives and brought us hope. Again, it's not an untroubled life. It doesn't mean that there won't be heartaches or pain or suffering. We have some dear friends that they're saying goodbye to their dad for their last time this coming Tuesday. Fought the battle with cancer, and in a sense I would say he didn't lose it because he's in the presence of Jesus now. Served the Lord as a missionary for, I think, 46 years, something like that. But see, that's the hope we have. They're not grieving because they think dad's gone forever. They're grieving because they're not going to be able to call him up on the phone or talk to him or see him interact with their kids or see them great. One of his granddaughters is pregnant and due, and they were kind of hoping he might hold on to see that great-grandchild, first great-grandchild. That's the sadness and the hurt that they feel because he's not in their lives anymore. But there's also a rejoicing because of the hope we have that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And to understand that the goodness of God for us, we don't always understand those things. If you ever wonder about that, go back to Genesis and read the story of Joseph. Now, he wasn't a perfect dude. He had some problems with his siblings, and thankfully none of us ever have squabbles with our siblings. But at the end, he sees all those things. I mean, your brothers are talking about killing you. Instead, they sell you as a slave. Then you're falsely accused of sexual assault. And then you go into prison and you help some guys in prison. And they forget all about you. Until all of a sudden, Pharaoh needs a dream interpreted. And one of the guys that he helped in prison goes, hey, I remember you weren't happy with me and all that. And at the end, God uses that and puts him in that position to save the Jewish people during a time of famine. And after dad finally dies, the brothers are thinking, oh, Joseph can get us now. He can pay us back. But God worked through all those things, and Joseph realized something. What you intended for evil, God intended for good to the saving of many lives. That's the hope that we have. Not that the problems just disappear, but that God works through those problems. There are times that we do struggle, and we may ask the question, where is God? But let me encourage you to know that God is there. I've got a short video I want you to watch right now.
Where is God? We see him in the splendor of a sunset. we sense his glory on the mountaintop. We know he is enthroned in the heavenlies. But these are not his only dwelling places. He is also found in the fiery furnace, in the belly of a whale, in the lion's den, in the prison cell, on stormy seas. He is there in the dark watches of the night. He is at rock bottom. He is there at the end of the rope, even in the valley of the shadow of death. Where is God? He dwells in the place where you need him most.
Thank God for that. You may be asking yourself this morning, where is God in my life? He's there and he is working. You might look at me and say, Pastor Rich, you know, you're talking about all this stuff and being a believer. I don't know that I'm there yet. Well, the beautiful thing is he's already at work in your life. The Apostle Paul pointed out that God works in people's lives even when they aren't aware of it, and he does this so that perhaps people will feel their way toward him and find him, though he's not far from any of us. Acts 17. See, God loved us so much that Romans 5:8 that says, even when we are God's enemies, when we are sinners, Christ died for us. That's how God demonstrates his love for us. Even though we may not be thinking, I want to turn my life towards God. I want to be focused on God. I even want to consider surrendering my life to God. God has already been at work in your life. And he's truly, as the old song says, he's as close as the mention of his name. This morning, let me encourage you, if you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus, to do so today. You will find hope, you will find peace, you will find joy, you will find salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. His death on the cross provided forgiveness for your sins. You can be made new to live differently as Jesus Christ changes you from the inside out. Again, for most, I don't know anybody that it happened instantly. But you'll begin to find that as you give your life to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want to live to please you, that those things you used to do that you knew were harmful to you, that were displeasing to God, all of a sudden they lose their attraction, they lose their hold. Some more easily than others. But you're going to see God changing you from the inside out, not just your behavior, but even your heart. I don't even remember who it was now, but somebody looked at me one time. I was riding with them, and somebody cut him off, you know, honked at him and cut him off and swerved in front of him, and he looked at me. You know, before I came to know Jesus, I would have said some really unkind things about that person. But he recognized that God had made a change in him, that the things that he used to do, he doesn't do anymore. Thank God that through him we find hope and strength to face whatever life throws at us, because we don't walk alone. We walk with Jesus at our side every single day. So let me just ask you this very simple question. Is there any reason you shouldn't surrender your life to him today? If the answer to that question is no, then let me invite you to do so. Again, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm just asking you to surrender your life to Jesus. Now, we're here because we're people who've done the same thing. And that's part of the beauty of what Jesus does, is he calls people together. calls us his church. And we get to learn how to do this Jesus thing, live for Jesus together. As we study his word, as we worship him, as we allow him to work in our lives, sometimes through other people. Many times through other people. That's the reason we have prayer partners. And we've seen God heal people. We've seen God provide answers to problems that, where it didn't seem there were. Why? Because God is a part of our life as we surrender ourselves to him. If you happen to be watching this online, you can pray this prayer along with us. You bow your head and close your eyes just in reverence for this moment. You would happen to be here today under the sound of my voice, present in this place, and you'd just say, Pastor Rich, I'm ready to surrender my life to Jesus. Just quickly lift up a hand and I'll acknowledge that. Won't embarrass you. I won't call you out. Okay. And if you happen to be watching online, please reach out to us, message us, email us, call the church, let us know that you made a decision for Jesus. We're just going to pray a very simple prayer. Again, there's nothing magical about this or special. It's just us asking God to work in our lives. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you that he died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins. I believe in what Jesus did for me. I ask you, God, to forgive me, and I surrender my life to you. Help me to live every day as I go forward, learning more and more what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to live my life to please you. Thank you for this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Hallelujah. Was blind, but now I see. Thank God that we are not hopeless, but we are hopeful because of what God has done for us by his grace through Jesus Christ. Lord, as we get ready now to enter into a time of fellowship, we thank you again for what you've done for us, that through you we have hope, through you we have life, through you we get to see this world through your eyes, to see what is good and right and pleasing in your sight. And Lord, you told us that you sent us out to be light in this world, so Lord, as we leave this place today, may we be that light. May others see you through us. And may you draw them to you as we lift you up with our voices, with our lives. Lord, thank you for this. Bless this time of fellowship. Bless this people, I pray. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.